One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the All-American Ron Simmons, and you're listening to Cassio's Cut. Damn!
What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you doing? You're listening to another edition of Cassio's Cut, and I am joined by a very special guest this week. Tom Tippin is in the house. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Man, I'll be honest. Past guest and a friend of mine, Chad Bearden, was on this show, and he has a wonderful podcast called From the Shadow, and I knew nothing about you. I knew of your dad, of course. People will know your dad, Aaron Tippin, the 90s country phenomenal star, and we'll get to that in a second. But I heard you on his first episode of his podcast and became a fan, found you, discovered your music and everything. So I told him, hey, buddy, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm stealing your guest. So, Chad, thank you for letting me steal Tom.
Hey, thanks to Chad. No, man, that's so sweet. Thanks for saying all that. No, yeah, I love Chad. I love that guy.
Well, let's start with that. Let's real quick. You know, Chad, you guys do songwriting stuff together
before. Yeah. We've intermingled in songwriting. I've gotten to play some shows with him here in Nashville. He is just sweet as they come and such a hardworking dude. And like you said, his podcast, I was honored to do the first episode, which is Boom. So cool. And yeah, he's got a natural, podcaster vibe. I had no idea, but anyway, we had fun, man. I just think the world of him.
All right. So let's talk about music. Well, we hit on it. Your dad, Aaron Tippin, megastar, in the country music world. Some of these Chad ask you, so apologies, but I think they're great questions and I love some of them I've never heard, but he's in the music business. And also I think people should understand how talented and musical your mother was as well.
I agree.
Or should I say is, I shouldn't say was.
That's right. No, man, she really is such a talent. And that's what's so cool. I grew up with, my dad, who is so traditional country and so raw, old school, but man, and what a songwriter, especially as the older I get, the more I go, you son of a gun. Those songs they're so good. And it ticks me off sometimes, but
he was songwriting for other artists right before he had
a cut. Charlie Pride cut one of his songs. Garth Brooks has cut one of his
songs. Kingsman?
Dude. Yeah. It's,
come
it's
on.
Surprising. It's surprising. It's so underground. Nobody really knows about it, and he's so humble about it. But I had that edge, that old school country my whole life. But then what a lot of people don't know is, like you said, my mom is just musically, oh my gosh, just head and shoulders above like all of us. But she went to Belmont in Nashville here. And she's a vocal major. She is just a beautiful, beautiful singer. And that's what exposed me to a lot of great singers like Whitney Houston and, you know, Michael Jackson. So she and like Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, that was like her music. And then dad, you know, obviously is like, you ever heard of Hank Sr.?
But that's good. It molded your musical taste. You weren't stuck in a genre.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so thankful for it now. I mean, just the things I've gotten to listen to and the way I can just go back and cite stuff. Like, yeah, I have heard that before. You know, somebody asked me, I go, yeah, I actually do know that.
So obviously, as your dad's on the road, you never get to see him and y'all hate each other now, right?
I mean, obviously. No, man, the cool thing is I grew up going out on the road with him. I have so many cool memories of like just summer break was us, me and my brother, going out on tour with him and just hanging with the guys and doing the whole thing. It was so fun. And also just, he's get a little heartfelt here, but no, he's an amazing dad. He's an amazing guy. So no matter what, whether he's home or not, I mean, just all the moments I've gotten to and get to spend with him are incredible. He's basically everything in his, who people think he is as a stand-up guy. He's a really, really cool guy. He's got a great heart. So I really am so lucky. And I got to grow up with him and obviously that rubbed off growing up, going out, touring, seeing what that life was like. And it didn't scare me off for some reason. I don't know why.
Is your mom in the business? She got in the business?
Oh, my mom was in the business originally years ago. And so she was working on her own career and she was working for Reba McEntire at the time. And that's when my dad came on. Reba started a management division and mom was a part of that. Met my dad, the rest is history. But she kind of put her career by the wayside for dad's career because he was on the come up. And so all that to say, she is now the vice president of the record label dad and her created. And she runs logistics of basically every piece and inch of my dad's career. He wouldn't know where his head's going to hit the pillow if it weren't for her. And it is awesome. And I benefit from that now. I mean, just the what she knows, and she helps me. I got her on speed dial, man, because 99% of the time, like, mom, if it's any music business question, she'll either have an answer or she'll go, I know somebody who has an answer. And it's like, oh, it's awesome.
You're getting a free masterclass from the artist side and the management side.
I'm telling you. She is full of knowledge.
So I know you were singing at a young age. If they want to see your Tom Tippin on YouTube, you're bumping the Junior Beta concert. You're in costume, baby. Ooh. You're at Michael Jackson. By the way, I'm mad at Michael Jackson video. You waited till 3 minutes of 3 minutes and 48 seconds to hit us with the moonwalk.
Hey, baby,
I guess you were getting us lathered up for it, but come on.
I had to keep them waiting. I had to have that cherry on top. There's got to be a climax, man. And then the
crowd popped.
As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, I'm going to do it again. I think I do it like twice in video. I'm like,
three.
I was
the last one. You just ended on it. You just kept going away.
I couldn't help it. I could not help
it. You were feeling it by then.
Oh, I was feeling it.
So you're singing from a young age. Did they ever discourage it? Did they ever say, hey, man, this is a scary business?
They never discouraged it. Nor did they ever by any means force it, but they never discouraged it, but they've always been real. They've always been realistic, and it's never been anything short of reality. There's no rainbow butterflies about it. Like they
cold shower.
They exposed me to the industry, and they have just years and years of experience, obviously, and now it's very clear for me to see they love me and they appreciate, and I appreciate that they're looking out for me. And all that is like the artistic side of it was always there. I got to revel in both of them being so gifted at what they do, and that, you know, forming me and helping me become me. But the big thing was like They were just real about the industry and what I was going to have to face. And they're like, you're just going to have to, it's an uphill climb. Just expect it. It's not a gimme.
I've heard you talk about it. It's very fascinating. I think some people assume, hey, my mom's in management. My dad's a big country superstar. I'm going to have the door open for me wherever I go.
Right.
But I've heard you talk about it. Sure, I'm sure some doors did get opened. There's still, you know, you got to still knock it out of the park after that. But I'm sure you also got pigeonholed or door got closed because of that as well. Is that what you think? Kind of both?
It happened. No, it certainly happened both directions. It's a double-edged sword for sure. But I mean, certainly more good than bad. Because my dad, I'm lucky he isn't an a-hole. He's a good dude. I mean, genuinely. And it's cool when I meet, I get to meet with a lot of people who knew him when he was a young man and young in his career and just have great memories and talk such in such a cool way about him. And it's cool for me to hear those things. But on the other side of that, like you said, I mean, yeah, I've definitely had doors shut in my face because, hey, it's Aaron Tippin's kid. So, and the cool thing now where I am in music is my music, it's so me and it's so its own direction that some people, Aaron who? Literally,
okay.
And they don't know, and it's no, you know, it's because their music is it, their taste or where they were raised in music is entirely different than Aaron Tippin, and so it becomes more times now than not. I don't have to say anything, and also they don't put two and two together because the Tippin last name means, you know, doesn't mean anything to them, and that's fine. But I mean, there's certainly moments where people stick their nose up. No, it's all right. I get it.
Well, it is part of it on music because I hate classifying somebody's music for them, but pop rock. Well, I mean, what
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, man. It's very.
I've seen you online perform everything, but your recorded stuff, pop rock, is that okay?
Pop rock, progressive pop. It's like alternative pop. It's just, I appreciate the whole not wanting to pigeonhole it, but like, and that is the cool thing about it. I love to experiment. I love it to be forward thinking, and I wouldn't want to sit too easy anywhere, you know, in any sort of category, but certainly I it's progressive and alternative pop. And I just, cause that's always where my voice is certainly in its own side, probably not, you know, conducive to honky tonking, but
you don't have the Tippin accent now.
I know, I get so much crap for that, man. My mom's from Montana though, man. She doesn't have an accent. So somewhere Montana and South Carolina, dad's from there, that they met Tennessee and it whatever this is. Yeah, man.
Did you ever have a thought of going country, or was there always a thought of not going country because of it, or did it just happen the way it did?
It a lot of it happened the way it did. There's been moments where I was like, you know, maybe I should just be country. Yeah, like almost as if it was more of like hearing it so many times in my head, people be like, are you gonna be a, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I hear, and it doesn't bother me at all. It probably bothered me when I was like 12, 13 or whatever, but oh yeah, he's going to be a country music star. He's going to, and it was very specifically, and they didn't mean anything by it. And I understand that, but people's natural instinct was just to say, yeah, up and coming country artist, Tom Tippin here. And I mean, they either hadn't listened to the music or whatever, but it was just, this is obviously, I mean, he's Aaron Tippin's son. He's got to be doing this, but and that doesn't bother me now, but it definitely has come in its own way. And I didn't have to push anything now looking at it. I go, I love all music. I was at a really cool, like honky tonk concert last night at the basement. And those folks were country. And
who it makes was there?
All my, It was a Brit. Let me think. Hold up.
I work morning show on a rock station here in Huntsville. And so I go, you know, I'm always at a rock concert, but just like a couple of weeks ago, I posted, I was at the Derek Bentley concert.
Yeah.
And people were going, "What are you doing there?" And I'm like, "Why would I not be?
Why would you not be?" Britt Taylor is who was playing last night.
I have to check him out.
My buddy Collins is playing a fiddle for her. And anyway, all that to say, when you see people like that, you almost go, "Man, I wish I made these like that." But then you got to stop yourself and be like, "You know what though? The coolest thing about, especially this project that's coming up, I know so much of where I am now and understand what my music is. And it's cool. Music is about you and yourself and how unique you are. So you got to be true to yourself. And that is it. Now it's just become, what do I want to make? What do I want to enjoy? And what does it sound like when I just don't think?"
So you released an EP and then an album, right? 2020 was the last.
I released a little EP back in 2019 and just a single. And now this will be my second EP coming up here. I haven't done an album just yet.
So the timing of that is why I brought it up. 2019, 2020. And then, of course, you know, the world shut down, of course. We all knew that was coming. How did that affect... Hey, I'm just now being able to get my music out. I would love to start performing in front of people. You probably had a few shows where you're getting to do this brand new music, and then, nope, we're out.
No, it was just that. It just struck me down the middle of me trying to get my footing. I just moved to Nashville. I'd been coming into town and writing many years prior. I lived, 60 miles east of here. But finally, at 18, I said, "All right, it's time to do it. This is what I wanted to do. Moments now." And into 2019, going into 2020, bam, everything shut down. And it was, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, it was absolutely terrible. It was the worst time for me creatively I've ever had. I was it was tough. And I was fortunate in the way I was, and I was healthy. But as far as my artistry and my life is the way I had expected to go, you know, it was a huge shock. It was a big wake-up call.
Sure.
But the coolest thing, I found so much of who I was. I really did. It was such a step. It was such a chance to take a breath, step back, and it's how this EP came to be. I mean, honestly, this has been in the works really since 2020. And it's molded that it, yeah. Pandemic molded me and it was tough, but it was really a lot of introspection, a lot of figuring out who I was.
Yeah. It was, of course tough for everybody. And we all had to figure out how to cope, but it was, I'm always fascinated dealing with so many musicians and entertainers and comedians and wrestlers that we've had on this show, just how that, you know, the entertainment world, everybody got hit with it, but it was a weird hit on the entertainment industry that nobody had ever even conceived of. That whole industry is done.
Yeah. It was just like, wow. Talk about the rug, just a ripping. Right. It was never on the book. It was never in the cards. Like, that was not a thought in my mind. So the fact, and I think obviously most entertainers feel this way. It's just, who would have dreamt that the job you love and as creatives and as entertainers, 9 times out of 10, we're really attached to what we do because we work really hard to do something a little different. And so anyway, to watch what our purpose in life is, to watch it just get ripped away from you like that so quickly. And it was like, holy smokes, just an unexpected thing. And it made me now, just like going to that show last night, just go, this is so cool.
Just appreciate it. We can all get
together and appreciate it. And it really makes me appreciate it a lot more.
Well, you talk about this, this new EP, you mentioned it's coming out in the fall. And you mentioned you really found yourself. This is the you. What does that mean? What can we expect from this?
It was man, talk about that. That the pandemic was time I figured out me, and this EP was just the, it was the catalyst for me to really get my music where it needed to be.
Lyrically, musically, everything?
Lyrically is where it started. I mean, I started with like the two songs that were incredibly raw, and I brought them to this producer, Jason Wozniak, and I really loved his stuff. And I said, man, let's listen to these songs, see what you think as a project. And he was on board immediately, and we really hit it off. And so then we got rolling with this, and we ended up with five songs in the end. And just there's two of them called Who Am I and Jesus Christ that are so incredibly just raw, stripped down, just naked. I mean, they're me. And also sonically then with the other three mixed in and all the blend, and it doesn't just speak like me, it sounds like me sonically, as far as just the way the production and everything went. And I'm so pleased, I'm so proud of them, of these songs. I'm really excited for people to hear it.
That's a good place to be. You hear a lot of artists and musicians, especially if they got a record deal right out of the gate, where they talk about how, hey, we had a big record, or we had our first record, we got signed, and then we were expected to duplicate that record every time. And it almost takes them a couple of cycles through deals to go, well, now we're making the music that we really want to make, that is us. It sounds like that was one of the silver lining blessings out of this pandemic, is you found yourself at a different time and was able to do it early in your career.
No, and that is... I'm fortunate with the way that the time that I'm in music right now is really, really cool. I mean, we can put stuff out independently and just for starts. I mean, just to get to pave your own path, which is really, really cool. And even labels are more accepting to artists paving their own path in the beginning. Like they want an artist who's an artist. And so anyway, I was blessed with that. I mean, I was blessed with that time to figure that stuff out. And certainly change is inevitable. If one thing you can count on, it's change. And I'll morph and I'll change further. But wow, I look back now, just me before and after the CP, and it's changed me. And I was
pre-pandemic Tom and post-pandemic
Tom. It's crazy. And not only was it what I do and a million other different variables, but also my age. I mean, I just, it hit me right in my 20s, the very beginning of my 20s, out of my own. I mean, it was literally primo time for me to have an existential crisis. and I did. So by God, I wrote some songs. And
you're getting all this out of the way early. You're lucky, man. So all of us are dealing with it later in life.
Oh man. And that's what it is as an artist. I'm so lucky to be a writer and to be a creative, and I get to channel that. And so the best thing I could ever have is someone go hear these songs and go, yep, me too. Yep.
I know there's a lot of variables, but you said name of it's Wasted Melodies, going to come out in the fall.
Yes. It'll be coming out.
A lot of people are involved, of course, in the music industry. So we'll get a date when you get one that you can feel confident in, but we should definitely be looking at it in the fall. A couple things, and then we'll get to the countdown to get you out of here. One, I just thought it was a cool moment. I don't know if you've ever realized or pay attention to it, but I saw a video. I meant to bring this up earlier when we were mentioning your dad, but I saw a video of you singing at Tootsie's. Tennessee yeah. Whiskey. I don't know how old you were. How old do you think you were?
Okay. I was 15, 14 or 15. I think I had my permit because I drove us to that.
Yeah.
Fest. I remember I remember specifically driving us there, and we parked by a bunch of Prevos, and this is like how green I was at driving. I left the car on for the entire CMT Awards. Had no idea.
What?
The generators were running on the buses, so you couldn't hear the motor. And I was so green.
It dropped out.
I left the whole. Anyway, that's how I think I know it was 15. And me and my my mom and my dad and all of us, we did the red carpet. And then we ended up like, yeah, you guys want to play a set of Tootsies? I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding me? So I played that room down there in Tootsies at like 15.
Well, that crowd is all on you that night. They're all on you. But by one of my favorite moments, as you're in the middle of just nailing it, a very hard Tennessee whiskey song, is you look and mom and dad are like super fans. They got the phones out. They are smiling ear to ear, and they're just like behind you like, yeah, and he's looking around when you hit notes, but like that had to be just a cool night, especially early on in your career, to just, man, this is chaos.
Let me tell you what, you actually kind of opened up a thing I hadn't even noticed. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that video, because that makes me that chokes me up a little bit, because I watched that when I was 15 and I looked at it totally different, and I need to go back and watch it. And no, and that's proof to how lucky I am. Those two folks love me so much. I'm so fortunate to have them as mom and dad. And that's so cute, man. That is it. They're looking around because they love me, and they've always been so supportive of me in the best way you could be. I mean, honestly, in the best way you could be. I'm just going to go back and watch that, because
somebody zooms in on you, whoever recorded it. They zoom in. That was you and your brother, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Ted, he was playing bass.
They zoom in onto you. You're singing one part of it, and it's just I don't know if they meant to do it or not, but over your shoulder, you can see your dad holding the cell phone. I'm like, first of all, that's dad at soccer game.
Oh,
that's dad at, you know, whatever. But this is Aaron Tippin, and he's seeing his son to a packed crowd at Tootsie's in the middle of Nashville. That's incredible.
I'm
you gotta check it out, dude.
I'm gonna go back and watch it. I've watched that video a million times years ago, and it's funny now. It'll mean a million more things than it did.
Let me talk about some other cool videos. Everybody follow Tom on social media at Tom Tippin. Thank you for keeping it simple. I hate when people have.
I'm not very sharp myself, so I gotta keep it simple. If I'm gonna type in how the heck to get into any of my social media, right. It needs to. Got to be
as easy as possible. You have your incredible flying videos. Wow. You have been in an airplane since you were an infant, basically.
Yes.
Did you start in music or airplanes first?
I certainly started in airplanes first.
That's what I was thinking.
Not even to my choice. My dad stuck me in the front of a Piper Cub at, I think I might have been 3 weeks old. He retrofitted a car seat and put me in. And that was the stipulation. Dad's like, my boys are going to go up in an airplane first thing they get out of the hospital. So as soon as we got out, me and my brother, obviously him before me, years before, but then that was the tradition. He set the tradition. And then once I'm telling you, I probably was 3 weeks old. He boop, stuck me up front. So I mean, it's been day one, and what a really cool thing to be exposed to. And it's that has been a blessing. Just
is that passion right under music? Because it looks like you have a passion for it as well.
I certainly have a passion for flying, a big time. I mean, it is right under music. Music beat it out. Just barely. My dad is a huge aviation nut, and I think a lot of people do know that. And if you don't, you do now. But seriously, he gets home off the road, first place he goes, airport. He goes to the airport, and he works on airplanes, he flies them. He's actually a flight instructor as well. He
come on
instructed me, gave me my my certificates and my licenses, and I've gotten to be exposed to that. And then it has taught me a lot of like valuable life lessons of like heavy realities, and how, because it's a very serious thing when you get in an aircraft and you take off, you are really you're the captain of what happens and how it goes down and safety. So things have to be taken incredibly seriously. So for a creative brain, my brain is so creative and so, I don't know, I guess left-brained or whatever the correlation is there, but it is the most like grounding thing I do in my life to just really? Like, yeah. And it also, it's incredibly therapeutic in that way that you can't focus on anything else other than what you were doing in that moment and paying attention to the airplane. Cause I fly a bunch of World War II old aircraft that requires, yeah, man, that requires
that thing's a big lumbering, slow plane, man.
Beast. It's a beast. I love that thing. And yeah, it just requires your attention and it requires you to stay on your game. And that's a good thing for my brain to stay in it. And it's also a really cool thing. It's a family affair. My brother's a pilot, and it's such another awesome bonding thing with my dad, just getting to fly with him. I mean, he taught me.
That's interesting that you said the way your brain is working, because my follow-up when I said, hey, I want to bring up the planes with him was, did you ever get creative, you know, floating around the clouds? But you're looking at it from everything is under my control right now. I have to focus on the plane.
I mean, the 9 times out of 10, my head is in.
But it kind of gives that switch of rest, the creative part.
It really does. And it's relieving in the fact it's so stressful that it's, you got to pay attention. It isn't a place that I really come up with a lot of creative things. It's a place I rest my creativity.
Right.
Because I'm an overexpender to the bajillion. I mean, it's every day I can't stop. And to my own detriment, sometimes I just want to go. And my creative, my creative brain can take a toll from that. And there's nothing more tangible and real than going up in an airplane and just, this is the mission. This is what you do. And I love that. It brings me a lot of great freedom in its own right. Yeah.
Well, man, I appreciate you joining us. We're going to do the countdown. We're rooting for you, brother. Incredible to catch this career right when you're jumping off. And glad that you did have to go to that low point in the pandemic, but we've all made it out the other side, and let's see what we can get out of it. Let's take the best parts of it and move out of it. So let me hit you with 5 questions off the wall. 5-finger discount. What's the last thing you stole?
Last thing I stole, I don't steal. I'm not kidding. I pride myself and I've never stolen anything ever from anyone.
You lie.
I mean that because it is one of my things. I don't know why, but it is something I take very seriously. I will not steal from.
Have you snuck into a second movie?
No, I've never snuck into a movie either. I really have not. I'm pretty lame, dude.
Did you take a pillow from a hotel room? Nothing.
No, God, no. Pillows from, that's disgusting.
Towel. What about towel?
I've maybe taken a robe. No, I haven't taken a robe either. I was at the Beverly Hilton one time and I was going to.
You should have stole that. You should have stole
it. But if you steal it, they charge you like $150.
Oh, it's the post charge.
So I'm like, you can't really steal it. I'm like,
that's not stealing. Number one thing stolen from hotels, batteries from the remote. Did you know that?
No.
Everybody's stealing the battery.
I didn't even think about that. What the heck? Yeah.
But if we're good, me and you's in a good life if we've never stolen batteries from the remote. I don't know. I don't want to know what panic they're in where they're like, I need 2 AA's now.
Now.
I need 2 AA's now. All right. So no stealing. Incredible. Incredible. All right.
It is one of my things.
Number 4. Now, look, I know if they follow you on social media, if they start following you here at Tom Tippin, and I think, look, first of all, sun's out, guns out for Mr. Tippin over here. Your dad's always been had the guns out.
Oh, yeah.
So you might not, this might be failing on you, but you are from the South. So I got to ask, I usually ask, give me 4, the Mount Rushmore of Little Debbie cakes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Ooh, this is really going to tick people off.
Okay. Have you ate one? You've never even ate one.
Yes, absolutely. My number one on the Mount Rushmore, I'll just go ahead and say, It might be nostalgia, zebra cakes. I don't know why. My
Zebras?
Dad,
okay.
I can think growing up and just eating a zebra cake and just being just happy as a clam.
Come on.
My other one, Cosmic Brownie. I love
it. Oh, deep cut.
They're just good.
They're just good.
They're like just basically fudge wedges, you know?
With some fake M&Ms.
Dude, I like them. I'm trying to think. Oh God, it's another one. I like the oatmeal cream.
Oatmeal cream pie.
I like those.
That's the OG. That's the OG.
Three. How many more do I need for Rushmore?
Just one.
Just one more. Oh,
so you got Star Crunch, Star Crunch, Nutty Buddy, Swiss Cake Roll, Honey Bun. You've got all the weird fall cakes and unicorn cakes. And strawberry shortcake.
It's a honey bun. Oh,
honey bun,
dude. Honey, I forgot about a honey bun. Thank you for reminding me. No, that's a solid. That's old school. Mount Rushmore. That's a good one. Okay,
that's an old school honey bun. Honey bun,
bro.
Now here, let me ask you this. Oh, what you thought of something?
No, I just love honey buns. I was thinking about a honey bun.
I thought you had a revelation.
That is a revelation. I'm going to go get me a honey bun.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because you went zebra cakes. I always ask people with the zebra cake, do you like the Christmas tree cakes? And are they better?
They're not better. I like them. But no, I got a thing for that little black and white zebra cake. It's so
just old school.
Something about it. When I bite into it and there's that little cream going on, I'm like, all right.
Everything goes away.
We're cool.
All right. Zebra Cosmic. See, zebra oatmeal and honey bun, those are good staples. Those aren't a lot of Rushmores. Your deep cut is Cosmic Brownie.
Dude, a Cosmic Brownie. I'm surprised that's a deep cut because I think they're like exceptionally good. Like they are a close number two to a zebra.
Do you get the regular brownies or always Cosmic?
Always Cosmic. Yeah.
Always with the fake M&Ms in there.
And you got to have the fake it because the little crunch, because it's like, it's just, like I said, it's a fudge block. And it's fun to have a little crunch.
Come on. Well, they still got like donut sticks. That was a good one. That's an old school jam. If you ever had those.
I've never actually had one of those.
They're just like a donut cake that's glazed.
I've seen those for sure. Yeah,
it's like very donut. All right. So that was a good solid four, especially for somebody who's in shape. Usually if I get my chubby guest on here, they're knocking it out of the park.
No, man. Well, you got to understand, I grew up in the South. So I knew
we had potential.
We've been eating those for deep, you know.
Although oatmeal cream pie is a meal. I mean, that's just a straight up, man. Fudge rounds. Oh, we forgot about fudge. You can get the double decker oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah. I don't know if I can handle the double decker. Oh, man.
All right, three. Give me three toppings on the perfect pizza.
Oh, God. I talked to somebody about this 3 days ago. Pepperoni and black olive.
Oh.
If I have to add one more, I will.
Okay. You could go extra cheese if you just like.
That's true. No,
pepperoni and black olive.
I love pepperoni, black olive, and at like Blaze Pizza, you can put on like a pesto drizzle. And if I can count that as my topping, it's a little abstract, but it would be black olives, pepperoni, and that pesto drizzle. That's my personal pizza at Blaze. I'm over the moon.
Like, Every time, that's you.
Yeah, so
thin crust, thick crust, regular crust.
Thin. I like thin crust. I like that
cracker.
I like crisp, man. Need a little crackle.
I don't mind if you burn the edges. I'm gonna be honest.
I like it, especially when that crust, when the outside crust is crispy. Woo.
Okay. All right, we're getting you fired up. You're gonna eat pizza and a honey bun today.
This is happening at lunchtime.
Next time we see you, you're gonna be chubby tipping. And gonna blame it on me, please.
That's all right. That's all right.
All right. Number two albums you could listen to for the rest of your life.
Oh my
God. Look, I preface this. You're not saying these are the greatest albums ever. Nobody's going to give you grief. It's just albums you find yourself coming back to. Hey, I can always listen to that.
Right now, it's very specifically Harry Styles, Harry's House. I cannot quit listening to it. Everything about that album is so cool and progressive.
Well, Sushi Restaurant's the best. Let's not argue.
I'm blown away. Like, every time I think I got a favorite song, I do not. I have another one the next week, which is like a true testament to an amazing freaking album. I mean, seriously.
Is it his best?
Yes, absolutely. Hands down.
Really?
I've never heard Harry Styles sound more like himself. It sounds like he's found his voice. He sounds like this production is so freaking, oh, it is so good. Everything about it, his writing has totally opened up. I am such a fan of this album. So right now I can definitively say, like, I don't know when I'm going to stop listening to it. I listen to it every day. And there's two.
I'm glad you said that, because I hate telling artists what they sound like, but you do have a hint of Harry Styles.
Well, and I should.
Is that okay?
God, absolutely. I never stopped listening to him. But on the other side of that, it could be a cop-out, but God, and it happens to me all the time. I just go back and listen to Continuum by John Mayer.
Really?
That set the precedence for adult pop as we know it, I think, since 2000 and whatever it was, 2 or 3. I mean, it's like, it hasn't, God, it has just been so consequential. I love that album.
Well, he's incredible art. That's two good artists, brother. I give you props for that.
Thank you.
All right. And number one, this is especially interesting when it's a musical artist. If right now, tonight, we went out and sang karaoke, what are you starting with?
I would like to start with my first initial reaction would be Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
I know really? Boy, that's a big song.
I know. And the last time I sang it, I was like 8 years old and it was karaoke. So that's why the first thing that comes to my mind, I'd be like, show me Don't Stop Believing. Don't show it to me.
It also karaoke. Also, it depends on your mood. I mean, sometimes you're going there and you're like, man, I need to get a sad song.
As I was about to say, man, you might be going through it and you're just like, you know what? Hit me with My Blue Angel.
Because my friends got onto me for a while. I had a stretch where, especially if I was on that brown water, I'm gonna be singing the Grand Tour, and everybody would be like, bro. Hey. You're killing the room.
The vibe, bro. You're bringing the vibe. It's
somebody's hitting Sugar Hill Gang. Somebody's hitting Justin Timberlake. And then I'm like, step right up. And they're like, oh, my God, what is happening?
Oh, God.
But that's the beauty of karaoke. You got to deal with the hell. Whoever's up there, you got to deal with their mood.
That's right. And it's like, and you got to be true to you. Don't be a crowd pleaser. Pick your song.
All right.
And stick to it.
Okay, Jern, Don't Stop Believing. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, let's go.
So disappointed, too. You don't even know, by a week, my morning show here in Huntsville, Rocket 95.1, twice a year, we broadcast our morning show live. We just got back about a month or so ago from the Holiday Inn Resort in Panama City Beach.
Ooh, I played there.
You were there a week after us.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know. I didn't even know you at the time. I listened to the thing. I'm looking through your social media, and I'm like, well, he's at the damn Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Because your dad jams that place. He's painted on the damn elevator, okay?
I know.
I love Samaritan.
When you're in the elevator with other people, and he's there, and they not – this happens both the times we've been there. They go, they look at it. They don't take anything, but they know good and well. They're like, I don't know how to handle this. Is this guy, this old guy on the – No, but man, we have so that is like literally the best gig ever.
It's a great place.
God, I love it.
They had a Journey band tribute band last time I was there, and the time before they had Billy Dean. So
I love it.
I'm not gonna be super fan, but we need to time it. I want to be broadcasting. That way you can come play on the morning show after your gig.
Let's do it.
I need the dates when you get them, and I'll give you my dates
when I get them. Because I'm sure we'll probably get to do it again, hopefully. And so let's set it up.
Dad's on the elevator. I hate to say, you're in for life.
You're in, baby. Wait, if you're on
this
the elevator.
This is the door that got opened. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Me too.
I've become a fan. I hope to see you soon. I'll come up to Nashville, figure it out. I know we're going to get some dates, more dates on the calendar. You do have dates, but more dates after this EP comes out.
Absolutely.
So we are looking forward to it. Everybody go follow Tom at Tom Tippin on social media, man. I had a blast. I hope you had some fun taking out of your busy day, brother.
Thank you very, very much. I had a great time.
Yeah. And we've got to come up with a deal. If you get more listens than Chad Bearden, he's got to do something. He's got to lose.
Ooh.
I don't know what we can do, but we got to figure it out. We do a friendly bet.
Work on it.
Talking smack.
Hey, listen. Matt can't go unpunished.
Tom, thank you, brother. Everybody, be looking out. Follow him on social media. You can see when Wasted Melodies is coming out this fall. Everybody, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, follow, comment, the whole deal. You know the deal. And until next time, stay mashed.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.